Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, March the 12th. Oh my goodness, March 12th of 2024. I can't believe March is halfway over. It's almost halfway over.
It's crazy.
February didn't even go by this fast.
Mm-mm.
I mean, this is unreal. Usually February goes by faster than March.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's unreal. But you know, it's been rather warm to start the month on more days than not. It's been rather warm. Today, we got very close to 70 degrees. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
We got close to 70. It looks like after tomorrow, we likely will have spent our warmest day of March. That's what it looks like as of right now.
Oh.
Looks like.
Okay.
But models can change, you know. Because once you get to past 10 days out, the models can be sort of hard to predict. Sort of. You know. Yep. And then 15 and 17 and 20, it can change. Mm. Let me give you an example of this. This was like 8 years ago or something, but still, I think this could still be kind of a somewhat relevant. So I can remember on my AccuWeather app, you know, like in like 2016, on like June 17th, which was a Friday, it said for day 15, the 15th day out, it said mostly sunny, very hot, high 96. But then obviously it was cooling down as it got closer to July 1st. That July 1st ended up being kind of cloudy, high of 80. So a difference of like 16 degrees. So generally in that case, now that's for July. And July tends to be more stable to me than March. So I feel like March models can change more than July ones. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, because once you get to July, you know, to June, July especially, you're into a more stable weather pattern. June, it can kind of be, you know, in early June, you can be anywhere from 90s on some days to 60s. So not exactly always stable. So who knows? That's why I just said it looks like, as in like no guarantee.
Right.
Things can change. To a degree, I kind of hope they do, because in 2 weeks, the kids around here, where I live on spring break, and I always think it's cool, you know, when they get to do their their spring break, and I'm glad you've tuned in, regardless, whatever device you've tuned in on, however you're accessing the program, whether you've called in, whether you logged in on your laptop or maybe even your desktop. I think mostly dinosaurs use that nowadays. Maybe not, but I don't know.
So,
anyhow, I'm just glad you've tuned in, regardless of the means that you've chosen to use. You know, whether it's a phone, by calling in, or by logging in on your smart device. Yeah, and I like saying this. I haven't said this in a while, but I used to love saying this. It's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Make your phone smart by listening to the program on your smartphone.
Yeah.
Just maybe we can get Siri safe by doing that. Just maybe. Just maybe. I mean, here's how I, how do you say, how do I know Siri's not saved yet, exactly? Well, one time past my pastor's preaching last year, it's near the end of his message. So, you know, he's talking about something. Suddenly, his Siri speaks up. You know what she says? I don't get much sleep, but thanks for asking. And then, like, he's like, I don't get much sleep either. You know what would be funny? I think it would have made it almost funnier if the Siri would have said, oh, really? If I was Dr. Bob, I would have said, ushers, get that thing out. I mean, his phone really did say that.
Crazy.
But I would have only done it for a joke thing that I would have said, ushers, mm-hmm. you know, take his phone out to the foyer. Just leave it in the fire for you and leave a lovely note that says, don't use it. This shall not disrupt the service.
Right. Yeah.
But it doesn't say you, meaning your phone.
Right.
Because obviously you couldn't help that. but anyhow, like, it was funny that it happened. I just thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But God said I would have it be decent and in order, but obviously somehow he did something with it that made it say that. and it said, I don't get much sleep. Oh. If it was going to say anything, it should have said maybe something like, have you read your first verse yet?
Right.
Like, if you're going to talk, say something relevant to the sermon.
Right.
And then another time, this one was, you know, back during 2020, so. But pastor was saying something, wasn't even anything about a palace, but then suddenly, like right near the end of the service, somebody's phone that was near us said, getting directions to China Palace. He wasn't saying anything about a palace.
Isn't that silly?
Yeah. At least he was almost done preaching. But still,
yeah,
it did it. The other thing is, I want to know where the Holy Spirit phone is.
Mm-hmm.
Or here would be a cool miracle. Siri speaking in tongues.
Oh, yeah. She just starts speaking in tongues.
It'd be like, I don't know, something like pastor would say, pray in the spirit with me, please, will you?
that would be super.
But then again, as they say, dream on, because Siri is just a little robot, you know, developed mm-hmm. by Apple, you know, to be an assistant. I would not call Siri AI, though. I would not, honestly. I would not truly call it AI. I mean, there are forms of AI. I'm sure there's things about AI that can be good, but there's also a lot of things about AI that can be very bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you say, are you surprised that AI is a part of the last days? No. Honestly, I'm not. You know, we are in the last of the last days. And you know, you might say, are you sad about that? No. At least I try not to be, because what if you're looking forward to this certain special event that's supposed to happen next year? Maybe you're worried that it won't happen because the trumpet might blow. But here's the thing. When you get up to heaven, you won't worry about that thing.
Uh-oh.
Doesn't matter if it's a special football game. Doesn't matter if it's a special, you know, for some of you nerds, if it's a special video game release,
uh-oh.
If it's a special, you know, Comic-Con or something, or whatever, you know, whatever that, a certain movie release, a certain, you know, thing, building you're looking forward to that might open,
vacation.
A certain this, a certain vacation you might take, a certain, you know, and you're, but whatever we do, but when we get to heaven, that'll be more magnificent than anything we were looking forward to in the future.
Yeah, we get to be with the one who created all those things.
Because I found it before when he's like, we're in the last of the last days and the trumpet can blow at any time. And I found myself at least thinking a couple times. And I was like, oh, man.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, and then whenever I've been found myself thinking, I'm like, what is it that you're so looking forward to? You know?
Uh-huh.
Like what is it on this earth that you're so looking forward to? Or is it just stuff you're hoping to get to do and you're worried you might not get to do it? Sometimes it can be that too.
Uh-huh.
Is it a place you wanna go see or spend an extended amount of time in, like a week or whatever? Is it someone you wanna see? Is it some, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What is it?
Uh-huh.
Like, what is it that makes you sad if somebody says it's the last day when about the trumpet blow? What is it that makes you sad? Shouldn't be anything.
No.
Okay. But obviously, when is mentioned going to heaven, obviously I get excited.
Yeah.
Because obviously heaven will be more exciting than any certain thing you could be looking forward to down here. I don't care if it's a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure the Lord in heaven, I think he's working on a roller coaster. Some roller coasters for us. I think he is. For those of us who love roller coasters, that is. For those of you that don't like them, I'm going to force you on. Oh, wait. I mean, you don't have to go on them if you don't want to. He's like, Miracle Man, don't torture me. You know, as much as I might love, you know, to try to get people to try, you know, everybody has their right to, you know, not be on it if they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But, whenever you're here, it's the last days. You know, about the trumpet blowing. Be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Be happy. Don't be worried. Be happy. If you love the Lord Jesus and you've been living right, that's not a reason to be sad. Because if you're sad, when someone mentions that it's the last day and the trumpet could blow at any time, either one of two things. Either you're not living right, or maybe you're just so looking forward to something down here. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That it's either one of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, because
it'd be idolatry any way you look at it, as if they're looking forward to something else and not putting him first.
Or maybe you put him first at least for the day because you're in church. You know, is it something you've been so looking forward to that you haven't been concerned about the rapture?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for all this time, I'll keep coming, you know, and I'll do this and I'll do that. But if that day comes and it hasn't happened, oh, look out.
Mm.
I'll be busy. I'll be too busy. Like, you know what I mean? I'll be, or whatever. So don't get so caught up in things that, you know. I mean, it's all good to have our enjoyments and stuff. The things we look forward to. Yeah, that's even if it's your wedding. That's even if, you know, if it's your wedding to hopefully a good, godly husband or wife. So, one young person once told my pastor, she was saying something about the last days, and then, like, after church, the kid says to Dr. Buckley, so you mean I won't get to have a driver's license? I'm worried I won't get to have my driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Buckley says, you know, I mean, from the pulpit, not to the kid, but to the pulpit a while later, he says, I told this kid, when you get to heaven, you won't be worried about that driver's license. I tell you one thing, I won't be worried about it.
Nope.
You won't be worried about it. Why? Because our life here on this earth is but a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's also like I could also say it's like a vapor paper. Because just like the paper can get blown by the window and disappear, that's how life is.
Yep.
Vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. And let me think. Let's say you live up to be 120 years. Like if you live to that maximum, you'd still be less than 10% of the 200 years. Closer to like 6% of the 2,000 years, I mean.
Yeah.
See? Vapor.
Mm-hmm.
Here today, gone tomorrow. No, I am not doing little bunny foo-foo. Especially since I loved Santa more than I did that silly Easter bunny. Were you one of those people that could care less about getting a photo with the Easter bunny?
Yeah.
You would have much rather have one with Santa.
Right.
Especially since the Easter bunny, all he'd give you is a little candy bar. Something cute like that. Not like Santa with Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just have fun with that. Okay. I want to remind you of a couple quick things, but the first thing I want to remind you about before I get to the announcements that I always do is that starting like next Tuesday or Wednesday, I am going to be, we'll be into that period where you're like a week and a half before Easter. And so I'm going to start teaching, on Easter, like the blood of things like the blood of Jesus and, what happened at Calvary and all that kind of stuff. Those kinds of teachings, because, I think as those holidays draw close, like these great spiritual holidays that we should not let the world steal from us. I know the get-togethers are awesome, those family get-togethers, thank God for family and all that, that's all good. But this idea of them stealing from the Christian holidays, like Easter, like Thanksgiving, like Christmas, and all that stuff. So that's why, when Christmas and Easter come up, I take the few shows leading up to that and deal with it. At Christmas, we did that stuff with the birth of Jesus in that. At Easter, we'll do the same thing.
Nice.
And there's a teaching that I do every year that I will repeat it, is the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. And I know some of you might have heard it time and time again, but there's also people who haven't. And I think these sayings that Jesus said on the cross are important. And then, of course, the five, the times Jesus shed his blood. And by the way, when he did that, when he shed his blood, what did that mean for us exactly? And we'll be talking about that. And in the last week leading up to Easter, we'll be singing songs about the blood and stuff, and about him, Jesus being alive and stuff. And it'll be great. It'll be epic. We know that because Jesus died on the cross for us, we have that covenant with him. I'm going to get off of that because I'm not going to teach the messages before the time even gets here. because so. but you know, as Christians, we're always thankful that he was born. We're always thankful that he died on the cross. Oh. It's always Christmas and Easter. It always is. I mean, not on the earth, it's not, but you know. Mm-hmm. We should always be thankful, you know, for what he did for us. Even if it's even when it's in the middle of summer or nowhere near any of these holidays. Because when you think about it, midsummer is the furthest from all of them combined, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because, like, yep. And
we'll be praising them then.
Yep. Yep, even on the beach.
Yeah.
I was going to say even on the beach. Because in the beginning God created the beach. I mean, no, the heavens and the earth. I caught.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Hopefully, listeners, y'all caught that.
Mm-hmm.
but that'll be great. Okay, so I also want to remind you about the stuff that I mentioned to you on every episode. First of all, about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. It's the story of how great God has been. God's always been on my side. Always. There hasn't been a day where he's left my side.
No.
There hasn't been a day where God just said, God would just tell me, go ahead and fall. You know, through all the stuff that I've went through in my life, all the different things, when I've sought his help, he's helped me. When my mom sought his help, you know, he's helped her with me. And with herself, whenever she sought the Lord for herself, even. You know, and different things. And he's been faithful. And I know this. He will continue to be faithful until the day that I leave this planet. He will always be faithful to me. And I don't have to sit there and say, well, I hope so. No, he will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the God of right in the nick of time. And then some of us can sit there and think, sometimes I wish he would do that miracle sooner. But sometimes it just happens right in the nick of time.
Yep. All in his timing.
It's all in his timing. It's like when it gets to that do or die situation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like to that point, like what you see in some of these games. Mm-hmm. And you name the sport. Like even in baseball, bottom of the ninth. You're down.
Yeah.
And then suddenly your batter. One of your batters who hasn't hit a home run in a very long time goes up there swinging a high fly ball deep left field. Bye bye. out of here. We win. Yay. you know, and it's crazy how that kind of stuff all will happen. But that's, you know, how it is, you know, sometimes that miracle happens, you know, right in that nick of time, that last minute.
Yeah.
And even if mine is last minute, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself and say, man, I wish it had happened a whole lot sooner. Because
mm-hmm.
then otherwise it can be like, God can almost be like, wait, did you want that to happen at all?
Right.
Well, that's why I keep on believing.
Okay.
And I'm not sitting here giving up going, well, I wish it was faster. You know, you keep believing. You keep trusting. Keep expecting. Keep you know, and keep on keeping on, keep standing on his promises. And when you've done all you know to do, sit down, get a massage, take a nap, and oh, I'm sorry. After done all you know to do, go to the tanner and having done all you know to do, stand firm.
Yes.
Stand firm. Keep believing. Don't let your faith take a break. So you can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book. That's rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com. And trust me, you'll be glad you read the book. You will.
Yes.
I don't know of anybody who's read that book who's sorry.
Right.
I have yet to hear about someone who said, I wish I didn't read that book. I wish I didn't read the book about the miracles. Oh, no. And my helper, Laura, her daughter, she's been giving books to her friends in Florida.
Yeah. And they read it and want one for their friends.
And they keep giving. They're giving them to their friends, you know, in the state of Florida. And
awesome.
And it's so great to see that people are getting the book, you know, they're getting it in their hands and they're reading it and they're telling other people about it. And, I tell you, God's doing things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know what? When my Ling gets made manifest, that book is going to be made into a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that is going to be awesome.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome, and I know God is going to use it.
I do, too.
And there's no I wish, there's no I hope. He will.
Yeah.
And I just know that for a fact. And I trust it. Mm-hmm. And I believe it. And I just keep my hope and trust in him. And just let God be God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, when we deal with things on this earth, we just gotta let go and let God.
Yep.
Rather than whine, rather than wish it was this,
mm-hmm.
or rather than, you know, because your brain wants to think all these thoughts that you shouldn't be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain would love to sit there and go, woe is me.
Oh, yes.
Would love to say, woe is me. Am I ever going to make it? Am I ever going to get through the stuff? Or am I left for dead and not going to make it?
Mm-hmm.
But you let God deal with those things.
Yes.
That's what I do. Whatever those things are that you're dealing with, whatever those problems are, financial problems, marriage problems, health problems, God's bigger than all that stuff.
Amen.
You know, he's bigger than all that stuff. But go online to that riversofmiracles.com. Get that book in your hand, please. You would.
Mm-hmm.
And be blessed. I pray that it'll increase your faith. Amen. And the other thing I want to remind you about is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed in the Miracle Man program. When you sow your seed, when I get notified that seed has been sown, I pray over that. I pray, of course, I thank God for that seed. Also, I pray over that seed, and I pray over those people, and I call them blessed. And I pray because, you know, obviously, I want you to be blessed. I really do. And so So I take that seriously. So, and also, I am not going to use my episodes as fundraisers and bring auctioneers on here and do that 3.5, 4.5, 5.5, 10.5, 3.5, 9.5, 10.5, 11.5, 12.5. like the musical auction, like that guy at the Midland County Fair does.
Right.
You know, maybe when I do an episode during the fair, maybe I should do the show, do one of my episodes while the auctioneer is going on.
Yeah.
You know, and just let them, and just let, you know, even if I just let y'all know, you know, that I'm not going to be, you know, if I'm going to, and in the background you hear the 3.5, 4.5, 5.5, and they'll be like, and remember, this is what I will not be doing
right.
on my shows. That'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I'd be like, see, you won't be hearing me doing that on
no.
my shows.
No.
Because, and those auctioneers, they're not giving you verses to stand on. Instead of 3.5, 5.5, 7.5, 8.5. You know, they're auctioning those animals off. And those most of those kids, they don't want to say goodbye to their animals.
No, they don't.
Do you feel like some of them are crying while those numbers are going up?
Oh, I've seen them crying, yep.
While the numbers are going up?
Oh, yeah, they just don't want to get rid of them.
And chances are those kids are not the ones doing the clapping.
Right.
But anyhow, I don't do that on my program. Instead, you know, trust God and believe God. I thank God for those of you who have sown seeds. Thank God for all of you. You know, I'm going to give you a verse to stand on as you sow your seed. And that is, therefore, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we know that for a fact, John 3:16. And you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed. In the search bar, you can type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-B-E-R-S. Last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. Also, the first R in Rivers, capitalized. The S in Shukla, capitalized. Please make a note of that if you would, please. And I would greatly appreciate that. And so, now I'm going to sing a couple of songs and then get into the word of the Lord tonight, and I'm going to continue on in Proverbs. Yes, thank God for Proverbs. What would we do without it?
Right.
You know, great book for life. You know, great. You know. So it's an awesome thing. It really is, and it's something that I thank God for. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the rich strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let the humble come and give thanks to the one who made us, the one who saved us. I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in the one who's worthy. I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in the one who's worthy. He's worthy. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let the humble come and give thanks to the one who made us, the one who saved us. I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in the one who's worthy. I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in the one who's worthy. I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in the one who's worthy. I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in the one who's worthy. He's worthy. I will make my boast in Christ alone. Yes, I will make my boast in Christ alone. Oh, I will make my boast in Christ alone. Oh, I will make my boast in Christ alone. Yeah, yeah. I will make my boast in Christ alone. I will make my boast in Christ alone. Oh, I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in the one who is worthy. I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in the one who is worthy. I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in the one who's worthy. I will boast in the Lord my God. I will boast in the one who's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise. Arise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save like your name. Your name, Lord. Jesus, in your name we pray. Come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder. Cause nothing has the power to say like your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Cause nothing has the power to save. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder. Cause nothing has the power to say like your name. Oh, oh, oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm giving you my dreams. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my right. I lay it all down for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm leaving you my dream, I'm laying down my pride. Burn it all down, count it all that's lost for the sake of knowing you. For everlasting joy. Living on a new life. And I surrender all to you. All to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you, Lord. I surrender all to you, all to you. I surrender all to you, all to you. I surrender all to you, all to you. all to you, all to you. Giving you my dreams, giving up my rights, lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We surrender ourselves to you, Jesus. We surrender ourselves to you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you've done. I surrender myself to you. Not to somebody else, not to something else, but to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this time we have tonight here on this program to study your word. Thank you that your word would be fruitful. It would not come back void. Thank you that every listener is ready to receive something from you, is expecting to receive something from you, Lord God. Thank you that for signs and wonders and miracles being done on this program by you. Thank you that you're healing people right now. You're strengthening people right now. You're giving help where help is needed right now in all different areas, Lord God. That things are happening for these people. You know what they have need of. Even when I have no clue, you know what they need. And I know, Lord, that you will be faithful and will do what your word says you would do. And I give you the praise and honor and glory for that. And I thank you now, Lord, that you bless me. You use me to deliver this message in your name. And I thank you that they will be attentive to your word, to your spirit through me. And I make my confession over this program. Sponsors and partners come to this program in the name of Jesus. Finances come into this program in the name of Jesus. And nothing can hinder it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that more and more listeners come into this program. Most importantly, I thank you for souls, more and more souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen. Open up your Bible, if you would, please, to Proverbs 29. Amen. Proverbs 29. We're continuing on in Proverbs. Sorry about that. I was just taking a little hydration. When you talk as much as I do on my program, you got to make sure you drink water.
Yep.
And don't let yourself get dehydrated, you know, or even start to feel like you're extra thirsty. So, thank God for water, because, you know, what if we were in a desert and we didn't have it? Then I'd be like, oh, Lord, help me. Right. I need to drink water. Now, this water is the washing of the water of the Word of God. And our minds need that all the time. We have to wash our mind in the with the washing of the water of the Word of God. Your brain's trying to think more negative thoughts and all that. And then blah, 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 blah. Scrub it up, Bill. Longer.
Yes.
And your brain.
No kidding.
Too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 1 of chapter 29. A man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. A man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. A king gives a country's stability through justice, but one who is greedy for bribes tears it down. Whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. An evil man is snared by his own sin, but a righteous one can sing and be glad. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Mockers stir up a city, but wise men turn away anger. If a wise man goes to court with the fool rages and scoffs, and there is no peace. Bloodthirsty men hate a man of integrity and seek to kill the upright. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. After a ruler listens to lies, all his officials become wicked. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives sight to the eyes of both. If a king judges the poor with fairness, his throne will always be secure. The road of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Uh-oh! Okay, I threw that uh-oh in there. Verse 16. When the wicked thrive, so does sin. But the righteous will see their downfall. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. A servant cannot be corrected by mere words. Though he understands, he will not respond. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. If a man pampers his servant from youth, he will bring grief in the end. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. The accomplice of a thief is his own enemy. He is put under oath and not dare testify. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Many seek an audience with a ruler, but it is from the Lord that man gets justice. The righteous detests for the dishonest. The wicked detest the upright. Chapter 30. The sayings of Agur, son of Jahi, an oracle. This man declared, Eidel, Tereshomer, come on. I am the most ignorant of men. I do not have a man's understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Who has gone up to heaven and come back? Who has gathered up the wind in the hollow of his hands? Who has strapped up the waters in his cloak? Who has established all the days of the earth? What is his name? The name of his son. Tell me if you know. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Do not slander a servant by his master, or he will curse you and you will pay for it. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. Those whose eyes are ever so haughty. Their glances are so disdainful. Those whose teeth are swords and whose jaws are set with knives to devour the poor from the earth. The needy among mankind. The least has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four that never say, enough. The grave and barren womb. Man which is never satisfied with water and fire, which never says enough. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be picked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. There are three things that are too amazing for men, four that I do not understand. The way that an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on Iraq, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a maid. This is the way of an adulteress. So you see there, it talks about, you know, it's basically saying, you know, don't be foolish. Have self-control. You see, self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, faithfulness, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, temperance, you know, and all that. And self-control is one of it. If you're going to be foolish, you have no means of controlling yourself. You have no means of controlling your temper. Oh, and let me tell you, some people have tempers. I mean, we all have one, but hopefully you keep it under control. I mean, you won't be a human and not have a temper.
Right.
It's just, I mean, we all have it, but, you know.
Controlling it.
But you got to control it. There's verses in the Bible that even talk about, in your anger, do not sin. And the truth is, you know, there might be things, you know, there's times for a righteous man to be angry at things that are unrighteous. But, you know, you don't let yourself sin. Don't let yourself sin. And so, you know, and the Bible says, you know, we've seen throughout the book of Proverbs that, you know, it pays to be wise. It pays to not be a fool. It pays. It pays to serve the Lord. And about this poor and rich thing, there's nothing wrong with being rich. I mean, it means you get to give more to the kingdom. Some people can have all the money in the world, but it doesn't necessarily make them happy.
Uh-huh.
But obviously having money is better than having no money.
Right.
Obviously. But still, you know, don't be being greedy for anything. You know, don't be being greedy, period. And greed is one of the sins that is so rampant. And thievery. Trying to think, the Bible has an index where it says, you know, for different things like this. Thievery. If you steal one to three candy bars within 5 years, it's totally fine. But any too much beyond that, trouble. Oh, I don't see where it says that.
Uh-huh.
Nope. Didn't say that. It says, he that stealeth no more. Let him work with his hands. That's what it says. You know, stop being a thief. Stop being a liar. Stop being a cheater. Stop bearing false witness. Those are all things to stop. doing. Start being honest. Start being obedient to the things of God and not be mocking obedience or scorning it. Because if you're scorning obedience, chances are you're not right with God. You're really not. Because the Bible says to be obedient. Not just to parents, you know, when you're younger, but also, you know, to God and to the law. You know, be obedient. But ultimately, you know, don't be disobedient to God. If he tells you to do something, you should, I would think you should do it. And not just kind of, you know, think about it and then be like, maybe I'll get around to it, and then maybe I'll do it. I don't know. Like, don't even do delayed obedience, even though, you know, obviously that's better than disobedience, but, you know, that can mean, like, you hesitated. It can mean that you were, for whatever reason, you just decided to, just do it when you felt like it. You know, like I pray when I feel like it. You know, I tithe when I feel like it. No, the Bible says, bring the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And then he, you know, and then he says, you know, and he wants us to be obedient to him, to his law, to his laws. You know, and there's people that say, you know, tithing's in the old law. Doesn't apply to now. Oh, then why is there half a book of, why is there half a chapter in Hebrews about it? The point is, tithing is still for today. We should still be doing, paying the tithe. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me therefore that I will not pour you out a blessing, that you will not have room to receive it. And so, you know, we just, you know, we can't always be angry and foolish, and because it doesn't pay to be wicked. It doesn't pay. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening and you're being a criminal, you should stop. My pastor, when he lived in San Diego, you know what my pastor's first preaching assignment was to? Oh. The gang wars in Watts of Los Angeles, a neighborhood of southeast city of Los Angeles. And he had a ministry, and he would bring gang kids to church, and the police would try to tell him, you know, maybe you shouldn't go in there. Dangerous, 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 dangerous. To a degree, and for a time, the police wouldn't even go in there. And like, because these gang kids were rough. But then there's some guys, Some of them, he got saved. One of them is still in the ministry today, I believe. Diego, or whatever his name is. And I think that is so cool.
It's so great.
And that he went in there to that inner city like that. And he got those kids saved. He brought those, some of them, but I don't know what all crimes they had done. Maybe they were just hanging. Maybe they hadn't necessarily committed crimes themselves, but maybe they'd just been followers and they'd just been hanging with the wrong people. I don't know, but he got them free from that stuff and they got saved. Someone got saved and they got on fire for God. Instead of being on fire for, you know, whatever they were on fire for. And God used, you know, a little boy from Harrison, Michigan. Born poor, raised poor, you know, ended up in, you know, San Diego for military, in Los Angeles. And that was his first preaching assignment from God. The gang wars in Watts, Los Angeles, California. Now, I'm not sure if it's what it was, but I'm sure there's still issues there, of course, because a lot of times once a neighborhood gets rough, a lot of times it's hard for it to come back. But regardless of all that, you know, God used him. And he's a minister to this day, you know, and he is the pastor of so many pastors. You know what he said before to our church family? Mm. He said, this local church here is the smallest thing I do. Mm. I pastor over 1,200 pastors.
Wow.
Yet he has a church congregation of like only 600 or 700. You think about that. And any given Sunday morning, there's like 500 or 550 in there, you know, and that. But my point being made, though, you know, he says, this is the smallest thing I do. Because I do these conferences in other cities. I go preach. I pastor all these pastors. I do this. I do that. But God used a little boy out of Harrison, Michigan to do this. With all this, you know, we see, we got to look at ourselves and not be all foolish, but be wise in the eyes of God. Don't be all striving, conniving. I mean, strifing, you know, conniving. All that kind of stuff. Give it to me now. Blah, 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 blah. Rough and tough and give me this, give me that. Because when you do that, it's not helping you. It's really not. So, you gotta, let God deal with that instead and repent if you've been doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing in the eyes of God. If you've been, you know, found yourself in strife. The Bible says where there is strife, there is every evil work. Not some, all. Every evil work is where strife is. So according to the word of God, I don't think I want to be living in strife. I just don't think so. I don't think it's prudent for me it's not. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, help us, you know, help us be with us, help us to examine ourselves, to find out for ourselves, are we wicked in your eyes? Are we righteous? Would you be proud of us, or would you not be? Lord, if we need rebuke, thank you, Lord God, that we will receive it. When may we not feel ashamed. Thank you, Lord God, for your work. Thank you that these people would be those that hear it and do it, not just those who hear it but do nothing about it. Lord, thank you for that. In Jesus' matchless name. No. In Jesus' name, amen. No. It's been a little while since I've given a sports commentary, so latest is in about 2.5 weeks, you have opening day of Major League Baseball regular season. And, of course, Tigers will start their season at Comerica Park in a couple weeks. And I think they could be a decent team this season. You know, hopefully win more than half their games. Maybe make a playoff push. We'll have to wait and see. Michigan State Spartan basketball is ranked number 8 in the Big Ten right now. Big Ten tournament will start Thursday, I believe. And then Sunday will be Selection Sunday. Hopefully they'll be able to make the tournament. You know, the big NCAA tournament where we will all start watching for the upsets to see what upsets take place. The upset is the team, you know, an upset is when a team who is not favored wins, obviously. But and then next month, NFL draft in Detroit. And I really want to go to some of that. It's like at the very end of April. But also in football of local nature, Milton High, the Comets have announced that Tyler Roman is now the head coach of Milton High School, replacing Eric Mettner, who had been there since 2008. And he's happy to be with the Chemics. All right, folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.